trust you.
You're relying on the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Well, tell your neighbor, I'm going to trust God. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Let's give a big thanks to our worship team tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we don't get together and talk about what we're going to preach on and that type of thing ahead of time. And in fact, they're making decisions early in the week before that weekend on song lists and different things of that. And this song here just feeds right into what I had in my heart tonight. And we just thank God for that and for the Holy Spirit. How many of you know it's the same Holy Ghost? Praise God. Well, if you got your Bible, let's turn over to Mark chapter 11. Mark the 11th chapter. Now, I thought for a little bit this morning, Pastor was going to steal my sermon. That's all right. This is actually his sermon. I'm preaching in his stead anyway. If you understand what I mean by that. Right? He's the pastor, right? Praise the Lord. But as we got ready to end last year and go into this year, I had the Lord start dealing with me again about getting back to the basics. And the basic around this place is faith. Right. Amen. Amen. The just shall live by faith, amen. Not have moments of faith. I heard, I don't know who I was even listening to, I was flipping through radio stations today, and they were talking about living a spiritual life, and I thought they made an outstanding statement. I don't even know who it was that made the statement, but they said a spiritual life is not a life filled with heroics; it's filled with good habits. Amen. And you know, a faith life is not a life filled with events; it's filled with everyday faith. And so, I want to look at an aspect of faith, and you know, we can talk about faith in general and that, and that's good to do, but sometimes it's good just to look at some different aspects of faith. And so I want us to turn here in Mark chapter 11, begin with verse 22, and I'll read this starting here in the King James Bible, but then we'll look at maybe a couple other translations. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, in my Bible, I've got a note, I look over here, it says, or have the faith of God. One translation says the God kind of faith, amen? And so have the faith of God. In other words, this is faith the way God does it. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, two things here that I just want to bring out of this, and we'll go this direction tonight in our time that we have tonight, is, number one, believe in the heart. Heart belief. Faith is of the heart. It is not something, faith is not, Bible faith is not just agreeing that something's true. It's believing it on the inside, at the very core of your being. Amen. You believe this. Not just you agree, but you believe this. And of course, when you believe something, we're going to see that you're going to speak it. You're going to talk that way. Talk in line with your beliefs. Excuse me. And so he talks here about not doubting in your heart. But then also along with that, when you have heart belief, there comes words. And so he says here in verse 23, and I know this is an old exercise, but for some it might be new. I want you to take your hand and make it on both sides. Just let your Bible loose there. Put your hands up. And we're going to see every time that he says believe, we're going to put a finger up on your right hand, my left. All right? Everybody wave your right hand at me. Right hand. Okay, so that's on this side, right? All right, on this side, we're going to put a finger up every time the word say or a form of it is used. All right, you ready? Verse 23, for verily, now this first one doesn't count. I say unto you, he's just saying, I'm telling you, that whosoever shall say, all right, we got one finger over here, right? Unto this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. All right, we're even, right? We got one and one. that those things which he saith, there's another say, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now notice over here, we've got three times, you can put your hands down, three times, excuse me, that he said, say, brings that aspect out. One time he talks about believing. Now, it's not to say that saying it is three times more important than believing, but it does bring out this idea. And the Lord, in a time of Brother Hagin talked about, the Lord showed him that he was going to have to spend three times more time teaching about your confession and what you say as he was about believing. Because really, Christians aren't necessarily missing it in their believing. Sometimes there's a wrong belief, but it's in their saying. Now, he said their believe, but he said say three times. Now, what you say is going to proceed out of what you have in your heart. Now, Pastor mentioned it this morning, Johnson's paraphrase of verse 23. I'm going to read the whole thing to you. He quoted part of it. Here it says, truly anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake. I like that. How many of you got some things in your life you'd like to tell? Just dump yourself. Dump yourself in the lake and does not, listen to this, does not become separated from the statement he makes. That person, everybody say that person. Now say this, that person is me. That person will actualize his statement. In other words, it'll come to pass. When anyone's expression in prayer is congruent with his inner being, his desire will be actualized, he said. Do not become separated from the statement that he makes. Now I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew, the 12th chapter. And I want us to begin in verse 33. Here I want us to see here this connection between the heart and the mouth. The heart and words. What you say that you believe in your heart. Now they are connected. Amen. They are connected. And you can influence what is in your heart by the words that you say. If you say it long enough, it'll be in your heart. Amen. That's why it's good for us to continually say what the Word of God says about ourselves. Meditation, part of meditation means to murmur. That word means to murmur. And the word that's used, that translated meditate from the original language of the Old Testament, it means to literally to talk to yourself. Now, we probably wouldn't have to ask too many folks today, but I'm sure some of you have already talked to yourself a little bit today. You may not have talked out, well, some of you probably did talk to yourself out loud. You know, how many of you have had those conversations with yourself? Sometimes it slips out. You don't realize you're doing it out, you know. They're in line at Walmart. Sometimes people look at you funny when you're having a conversation with yourself, especially when you answer back. Amen. It happens, right? But a lot of times on the inside, but to talk about the Word of God with yourself, not only does that, it does two things. It helps what we have in our heart, but then it also helps us to act upon what's there. It helps us to get something out of it, but it's part of that process. Now here in Matthew 12, verse 33, this is the King James Bible. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers. Now, viper's an evil snake, okay? Jesus is pretty straight sometimes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? Now, notice this statement. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Pastor made the statement this morning, we can tell what you believe by listening to your words. Now, life that I'm living right now is a result of all the words that I have ever spoken or have that been spoken to me that I have received. Now, you can say all kinds of nasty things about me. It's not going to affect me. Now, if I receive those words, though, then it's going to become part of my life. And what will happen? If I receive them, I'll eventually speak them myself. You know, you heard people say, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, words can hurt me if I receive them. Amen. I'll be quite honest with you, and my wife will tell you this, I'm very little influenced by the opinions of others. Now, sometimes people say, well, you just don't care. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't care. I don't want you to dislike me. I'll just tell you this. If you knew me, you'd like me. If you don't like me, you just don't know me. I'm a likable person. And most of you are too. Some of you got that. Amen. Now, let's keep reading here. Verse 35. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. Notice that. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Now, Jesus talked about, another place, having an evil heart of unbelief. It's possible, even for the Christian, to have wrong things, wrong beliefs. And so, we need to make sure that, you know, as I was there earlier, as we were worshiping God, that scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, in fact, hold your finger here. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. I've just got the impression that I'm going to be on this subject personally for a while and probably in the pulpit for a while, so I'm in no hurry. We'll get to time and we'll just unhook and come back there again. All right. Now here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, or through 23 actually, 20 through 23. My son, attend to my words. What does that mean? Put them first place. If you come and ask me, hey, could you go with me to the mall, I might say, well, I will, but first I have to attend to this. So give your attention to the word first place. And that's key to what you have in your heart. What do you put first? What knowledge are you placing first priority to? Is it the word of God or is it other knowledge? You see, what are you putting first? Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Now notice this. Keep them in the midst of your heart. One of the ways that I keep God's word in my heart is by saying God's word. Amen. He goes on to say, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Might as well read verse 24. Put away from you a froward mouth or an undisciplined mouth. And perverse lips put far from you. See, here again, talking about the heart connected with the mouth, what we say. Let's go back to Matthew 12. See, keep your heart. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. Well, if you got things in your life you don't like, check up on your heart. What have I got in there? What do I believe? Because that's where believing takes place, in the heart. Verse 36 here, Matthew 12. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words shall you be justified, and by your words shall you be condemned. Words are very, very important. Now I want to read this from the Message Bible. I'll begin in verse 33. If you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. So if you got a healthy heart, you're going to have healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you'll pick worm-eaten fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree. Amen. Hallelujah. You have, he tells them, you have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you're so foul-minded? Now here he says, listen to this, it's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. Let me say that again. It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. Boy, that's strong right there. And he goes on to say, a good person produces good deeds and words season after season, and an evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. I know in the early days of, and we'll get to verse 37 here in a minute. In the early days of my Christian walk, which was 1980, June 30th, 1980, when I got born again and filled with the Spirit of God. In the early days of learning, thank God that we got connected real early on with this faith teaching, and which is just nothing more than teaching of the Word of God. I mean, don't make it something, don't take it outside of biblical. You know, you can take any subject and kind of make it bigger than the Bible itself, and it's not, right? But in learning this life of faith, because the just shall live by faith, and at that time, be what, 34 and a half years ago, what you said was very, very scrutinized at that time. I mean, you had people, we used to call them confession police. And they were, some folks were good, some folks were mean-spirited about it, you know. But it was, the importance was on, watch what you say. He said there's something, he said, words are powerful. Take them seriously. I don't think it hurt us at all to start taking seriously again the words that we say. Amen. Right? It wouldn't hurt us at all to take seriously what are we saying. Verse 37, then he says this. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. See, what words are you speaking? Are you speaking words that bring salvation your way? Are you speaking words that are bringing condemnation or the things you don't want in your life? Well, I just never seem to can find a good job. See, you're speaking damnation over your employment life, your job life. And you want to, and a lot of times, you know, we just want to blame the devil. What devil? Now, he wants to, in James 3, it tells us there, if you look at it, it tells us he wants us to set our life on fire with the fires of hell by what we say. See, don't let hell in your mouth. You understand what I mean by that? Don't burn up your own life. Speak words of life. Speak words of salvation. Amen. Now, where am I going to find those words? Well, it's in the Word of God. You know, don't disconnect these things. We're talking about believing in your heart. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 10. Here's another scripture that puts together the what we believe with our heart and saying. Hallelujah. You doing all right? Our words are so important. And I think it would do us well to again return to that strong emphasis on watching what we say. Amen. Speaking only those things that we really want to come to pass. He said, you shall have whatsoever you say. Doubt not, believe in your heart that what you say will come to pass. You will have what you say. Now here in Romans 10 verse 8, speaking about the righteousness which is of faith, that it has a voice. Verse 8 it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh or near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now notice here, the word is to be found two places in the Christian's life, in their heart and in their mouth. Amen. God's word in your heart and in your mouth. We should be able to find it both places. Now again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if the word's not in there, you're not going to be speaking it. Amen. Amen. Now he goes on here in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now notice again, if you shall confess, that's talking, you have to say it. This is with your mouth. And shall believe in your heart. So now here again, notice, we've got saying something and heart faith, heart belief. That God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now look at verse 10, very important. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Now notice the part, the heart and belief believes unto righteousness. My belief, what I believe, puts me in agreement. Righteousness, another way to say being righteousness or right standing with God is being in agreement with God. right belief puts me, heart, faith, belief based on the word of God, puts me into agreement with God. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Of course, in Romans, he spent in chapter 4 about talking about Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was justified by his faith. We are justified by our faith. Jesus has done the work, but believing is the way that we get it, that we get into the righteousness. Amen. Through belief. All right? So he says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. But he doesn't stop there. Believing will not save you alone. Now look at this. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, you confess what you believe. And you're believing what's right, because righteousness means agreement with God. His way, I like what the Amplified Bible says. In fact, let me look that up there in Matthew chapter 6. Any of you ever seen that? That 6:33, you ever seen that? Seek ye first, right, the kingdom of God. Listen to the Amplified Bible here. He says here, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. See, righteousness is God's rights. Righteous. It's God's way of being right. Not my way. I may think there's a lot of ways that are right, but if it's not God's, then it's not right. Amen. How many of you found this out? God is right every time.
Oh, yeah.
we might as well just agree with God, right? He's correct. His way of doing and being right. So with the heart, I'm believing unto righteousness. So I've got to get my believing right. And with my mouth, I'm making confession unto salvation. I think Brother Hagin rightly pointed out so well that confession in the way it's used in the New Testament is agreeing with and saying what God says.
Amen.
Saying the same thing as.
Right.
I'm confessing what I believe. What do I believe? I believe what's in the Word of God, because that's where belief comes from.
Amen.
So I can check up on myself. Listen to what I'm saying. I can find out what I'm believing about situations. All I've got to do is hear my words. You know, David said, Lord, put a watch over my tongue. We can speak. Now here, notice here. Now I love this so much because salvation, and Schofield pointed out so well, is the all-inclusive word of the gospel.
Amen.
Gathering together all the redemptive acts of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not just the new birth, but it also means healing, preservation, soundness, and wholeness. Glory to God.
Amen.
Safety. So with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Or with the mouth, confession is made unto healing. You know, you can receive healing just exactly the same way you receive the new birth. Believe in your heart, say it with your mouth. Now, most folks that are in here, you didn't wait till you felt saved to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You confessed it, wow, by faith. You didn't have the feeling first, if you've even had a feeling. Just by show of hands, how many of you felt something took place when you got born in? You actually felt like you felt something, and that's fine. How many of you didn't? Let me see your hands. You didn't feel anything. Okay? Now, I knew immediately something took place on the inside of me. That something changed. I could sense it. It wasn't necessarily a feeling, but I could sense on the inside something had happened. I didn't know what that was. Okay? Now, looking back, you know, sometimes when you look back at something, you impose your feelings now or your knowledge now on then, but I didn't have that knowledge, and I didn't know what happened. Okay? Other than I had read the book, The New Birth, and was at this Bible study, praise the Lord. There was people there. I mean, there was a group of folks that had gotten Spirit-filled. They were out of every church you can imagine in that little Bible study. And they'd sing a few songs. I didn't know any of them. Praise the Lord. And so they said, anybody got anything to say? Now, what possessed me? I don't know. But I had read the book about confessing. And as far as, I knew, I had never done that. And so I said, I don't know. But I said, I just want to say that I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and that I'm confessing right now Jesus is my Lord. Well, that group, anytime you said something, they had a song that went with that. So they immediately started a song, you know. They sang something, you know. Now, you know, I think sometimes we try to overteach people sometimes. And we got to recognize when faith is present sometimes. And there was a lady in that group that was out of the Catholic Church. And God had given her a ministry. And I joke sometimes, I think she could have laid hands on the devil and got the devil speaking in tongues. Because she had a ministry. I mean, it was amazing. And they're singing this song. And she walks up to me and she said, I'll hold your hand and you'll speak in tongues. Now, I hadn't read anything. I had not read Why Tongues. I had not read Seven Steps to Receive. I had not read anything about tongues. I was a Methodist, by golly. We don't speak in tongues. All I can say is she did and I did. Amen. Amen. Now that's something to learn. You can't make your experience doctrine. Amen. I've seen a lot of people get filled with the Spirit around the world. But thank God they didn't have to do it the way I did. Otherwise, I'd have had to drag her everywhere I went if I was going to get anybody filled with the Spirit. Go hold their hand. Go. You know. Amen. But she had a ministry, just a lay person, not an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, but just a lay person that loved God, and God used that way. I mean, I saw her pray for and lay hands on people, just like I said, just held your hand. Several. I saw her do that, I mean, just all the time. God had given her that gift, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, how many of you have heard the phrase, you got to strike while the iron's hot? I mean, faith was running hot in that place, and that she just, when she said that, I guess I just believed what she said, because, again, they're singing one of those songs, I don't know what they're singing, they just started in. And they got done, the song got quiet, it got quiet again, so I have no idea what possessed me. I thought I had to talk again. And I said, I heard this coming out of my mouth, and I'm like standing up, I said, thus saith the Lord. I'm like, thus saith who? I've never heard anybody say that in my entire life. Thus saith the Lord. And up out of my spirit came these verses of Scripture. I had to look them up. We had all of us in there. None of us knew what the Bible said hardly. We had to look, is that in the Bible? Thank God for a Strong's Concordance. I mean, we found, it was actually, they were actually in the Bible. I'm not 5 minutes old in the Lord. Praise the Lord. But see, that all comes, believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Believe in your heart, say it with your mouth. Now, go over the familiar scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See, Jesus said, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. For I say unto you, it's interesting to me that after he made that statement, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. It's interesting to me in verse 24, he says, therefore I say unto you, he puts that into practice, that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, you shall receive them. Believe when you believe. Whatever things you desire, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look down here at verse 13. Hallelujah. We having the same spirit of faith. Spirit here probably be better translated attitude. Other translations say that, but that's all right. Believe it. Spirit of faith, fine too. Spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now notice here again, believing and speaking working together. They are the dynamic duo, if you will. One of them's not Batman and one of them's not Robin, but they work together. I don't know, maybe they're the Wonder Twins. I don't know, whatever you want to go with. But they work together, believing and speaking. Now, speaking what? What you believe. Amen. Now, have you ever caught yourself saying something you don't really believe? And you think, why in the world did I say that? See, let's match up. Let's not become separated. When Johnson paraphrased that, I think what he's trying to say, don't let your believing and your speaking ever become separated. Believe what's right. Believe unto righteousness and say it with your mouth. Don't become separate. Let them work together at all times, believing and speaking. Praise the Lord. The New English Bible here says, but the scripture says, I believed and therefore I spoke out. We too, in the same spirit of faith, believe and therefore speak out. So you're going to have to speak out. The Living Bible says, we boldly say what we believe. Boldly confess it. Boldly say it. No, you're going to have to be bold about these things. Boldly say it. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Glory to God. Now, one last scripture. Let's look here in Proverbs. Sometimes I brought my, any of you got one of these old green Living Bibles? You know, I wouldn't part with this for, I mean, Jesus would have to appear to me himself. Get rid of this thing. I've got stuff marked in here. But in the book of Proverbs, especially, mark down different things that is said there concerning what you say in the tongue. But here in Proverbs chapter 18 is a very, very important scripture for us. Starting in verse 20. Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So, what's he saying here? Your life is going to be a result of the fruit of your mouth. And the increase of our lips, we're going to be filled. Then verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are under the what? The authority there of the tongue. So if I've got a situation, and this we're not going to turn over there, but I want you to think with me. Romans 4:17, God who calls things that gives life to the dead, who calls things that be not as though they were. See, God speaks words of life. Because why? The tongue has the authority of death or life. They are into the authority of the tongue. Now the Message Bible. In verse 21 says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. I love it in Deuteronomy, there it's recorded where God told Moses, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And I love this. God said, therefore choose life. It's like, here's a hint. How many of you like to have the answer ahead of time? You know, when once there's a test and the teacher says, here, I'm going to give you the answer to this one. Woo-hoo! Right? But he says, I've said before. Well, how are we going to choose life? How are we going to choose blessing? With our tongue. With our words. That's what we did when we said, Jesus, you're my Lord. Right? You think about it. Now, one last thing here. I want you to think about this. I was sitting, actually, I don't know, was this last night or the night before, man? I was reading and studying and just looking at these things for myself. And the Lord, I think it was last night because we went out to eat last night or yesterday, sometime, whenever it was. My days have run together here over this holiday. I have kind of mixed it up. But how many of you, when you order on the menu, you got a menu in front of you, right? It tells you what you can have. And a lot of times, the server will come and say, so what are you going to have tonight or today? What are you going to have? And so you tell them what you're going to have. And do you realize this? When you sit there, now you've told the waiter what you're going to have. You sit there. You spoke with your mouth. You know, sometimes, though, you point and say, I want this here, you know. But you had to indicate, this is what I want. When you're sitting there, you're not thinking they're going to bring you something else. In fact, if you don't get what you want, what do? You send it back. Right? You've spoken, and you fully expect to get what it is you've said that you're going to have. Well, this right here, I'm not trying to cheapen it, but this right here tells me what I can have. And when I believe it and speak it in faith, I fully expect to get what it is I have said. But that comes about by believing it in our heart. Get this word in you and then saying it with our mouth. Amen. Let's all stand together. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father God, for this message of faith, believing, and speaking. Father, we give you praise and honor in this place. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to have our prayer team come right now, men and our ladies. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just as simply as I mentioned it to you, believe in your heart that God raised, that he's alive, glory to God. He died for you, but God raised him from the dead, and he's alive today. And confess him as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says you shall be saved. Amen? Just as straightforward and as simple as that sounds, it is that simple. Go ahead and come on, team. Amen? If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you're here tonight and you kind of walked away from your relationship with God through Jesus, or you don't know for sure. You go to church, but you don't know for sure. Don't leave here tonight without taking care of that. Come on up here as soon as we dismiss the service and talk to one of these ladies. Talk to the ladies, men to the men, and they'll share with you what the Word of God has to say briefly, and they'll get you. They'll get that spiritual need met in your life. If you have any other need in your life, and you want someone to pray with you according to the Word of God, amen, they'll pray with you also. You can come up for that also. Our connection team, if you'll find our first-time guest, amen, find those folks and take them to that place where they can receive that special gift from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and Rhema Bible Church. I don't know about you all. I kind of like this 6 o'clock service time. Amen. I'm not going to guarantee you that we'll get out at 7:02 every time. But around there, amen. Praise the Lord. I know what some of you are thinking. Yeah, those associates want to start at 6 so they can preach an hour and 45 minutes. No, that's not the purpose. Amen. Well, I think we came to full agreement in our meeting about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate Pastor Ms. Hagen being willing to try a change, to make a change. Hallelujah. I mean, look around. We've got a pretty good group in here tonight. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you just look marvelous tonight. Hallelujah. All right, connection team, we'll give them a little bit of time. Did you find those folks? Go ahead and find those folks. Shake hands with two or three people and say, I believe and I'm going to speak in Jesus' name, and you can be dismissed. Amen.